The Great Recession hit the industrial Midwest especially hard, and that's where we're going next as we continue our series on hard times. Today, NPR's David Shaper takes us to one small Midwestern city where local leaders hope the hardest times are behind them, Granite City, Illinois.
Sitting across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, Missouri, Granite City, Illinois has certainly seen better days. Downtown, there are more boarded up and empty storefronts and vacant lots than there are businesses. Granite City's population in last year's census dipped under 30,000, down from a peak of over 40,000 in the 1970s. And many people here say good-paying jobs are hard to find.
People are struggling.
49-year-old Tammy Scaff is sitting at a computer in Granite City's downtown library. Right now, Scaff says she's working part-time at Kmart and part-time as a home care aide to the elderly, jobs that pay about minimum wage, and she's looking for a third.
The economy is not good. It's not good at all. Several of us have had to have two or more jobs. A lot of people are having to use the food pantries or get help through the government and stuff.
Unemployment in Granite City is 9.5%, quite a bit higher than the rest of the St. Louis region. And the backbone of Granite City's economy is steel.
It's a hard-working town, and they are totally reliant on the steel mills.
Dan Simmons is president of United Steelworkers Local 1899, which represents workers at the U.S. Steel plant here, which in its heyday in the 1970s as Granite City Steel employed more than 4,000. Randy Virgin is another local 1899 official.
It is the absolute heart of this city, of this community. You know, when this plant was idled for the first time in its history, it's a 130-year history.
Virgin is talking about late 2008 and into 2009, when U.S. Steel temporarily shut down the mill and laid off almost everyone.
I mean, it was amazing the change that you saw take place within the community. I mean, you know, the restaurant across the street here was empty. The Walgreens on the corner was, you know, there was no customers inside.
U.S. Steel reopened in mid-2009 and now employs 2,200 workers. And Virgin says he believes the steel mill's jobs are here to stay, as the company has invested in upgrading the plant.
Its future is probably more secure now than it's been in a long time. And these are good-paying jobs.
Wages at U.S. Steel start at around $20 and top out around $30 an hour. And in a sign of the hard economic times, the union officials say they're seeing more college graduates apply for work at the steel mill. But it is still hot, dirty, difficult, and dangerous work.
When I first walked in, it looked like Dante's Infernal Paradise Lost. You saw the steam rolling through in this orange glow, and I thought, what have I done?
Brenda Whitaker worked on that steel mill floor for 15 years. Now she's across the railroad tracks in a place she calls a world away.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. There's just going to be two of us.
Going to be just two.
Uh-huh.
In this hard scrabble, cold steel town, the 49-year-old Whitaker opened her own cute, quaint little lunch restaurant called the Garden Gate Tea Room. And what did the guys back at the mill think?
Oh my gosh, they looked at me like I was crazy when I first opened this. Because right in the heart of an industrial community, you have this little oasis. In the springtime, we have the most beautiful garden, and we have alfresco dining, and people set out, and it's just, you know, just you close your eyes for a minute, and you know, you've forget where you are. And then all of a sudden you hear the roar of a truck coming by and a big piece of steel on it, and you realize you're back in Granite.
Whitaker was a pioneer in taking a chance to open a new business downtown when others were leaving. She's now on the city council, working to broaden Granite City's economic base and bring in more small businesses like hers.
I think we have always been defined solely as a mill town. I think we have seen, especially with when the mill laid off, that we have to diversify.
Whitaker says Granite City can no longer depend solely on steel, but it's still a critical element of the town's economy. And she acknowledges that that presents a challenge in attracting newcomers, as too many people still see Granite City, Illinois, only as a dirty steel town. David Shaper, NPR News.
The Occupy protests have focused on economic issues, which are also motivating a massive strike in Britain. It's being described as the largest national strike in a generation. Some 2 million public sector workers were expected to take part, responding to austerity measures. NPR's Philip Reeves joins us from our studios in London. Hi, Philip.
Hi.
Okay, we mentioned 2 million people expected to take part. Are people really not showing up for work?
Well, we're not sure of the numbers yet, but we do know that this is involving a huge spectrum of workers. You know, teachers, lecturers, immigration staff, tax officials, ambulance crews, midwives, road sweepers, weather forecasters, librarians, and many more, Steve. And that's impacting, obviously, quite a range of services today. A lot of schools and colleges are closed. Some transport links are being disrupted. In Northern Ireland, for example, there are no bus and train services at all. Hospitals are affected. Thousands of non-emergency operations in hospitals have been cancelled. Ambulance crews are taking emergency calls only. So its effect on life is pretty wide-reaching, it seems.
Teachers, meaning that students might show up for school and there would be no teachers there in some cases.
Well, students are always ahead of the game in these matters. My daughter, for example, has been well aware that there's a strike and has been planning her day, and that day does not involve going to school for some time now.
Although she won't know how to dress because the weather forecasters are on strike as well, you said, so who knows?
That's right. And we're also expecting quite a bit of traffic disruption because there are going to be marches and rallies in towns and cities across the land today.
Now, is there a specific issue behind this strike? Of course, there's been widespread austerity with the British government, but is there something specific that people are focusing on?
Yes, it's pensions. In a nutshell, Britain's government has told public servants that they must pay more for their pensions and work for longer. It's asking them to accept a pension based on a career average salary rather than a final salary. That's the deal that many of them are currently on. And now this is part of a huge tranche of austerity measures introduced by the British government as it grapples with this yawning deficit. A lot of these jobs are actually very modestly paid, but they deliver relatively generous pensions. So those who've walked out today say that these pensions are a very important aspect of their remuneration, one reason why they took the job in the first place, and that they're now being taken away from them, and they view that as profoundly unfair.
Now, this is sounding familiar to debates in the United States over Medicare and Social Security and projections of costs and so forth, particularly with Medicare, although Social Security has been dragged into the debate. Is the issue of dealing with senior citizens, dealing with retirees, a huge issue for the government in Britain in terms of their finances?
Yes, it is. And people, of course, are getting living for longer. That is being factored in. And the government's raising that issue, saying, look, we just can't afford to pay these pensions anymore. It's condemning the strikers for that reason. But it's also saying that this strike today just won't achieve anything except further damage to the British economy, which is already in big trouble. And they accuse the unions of staging this walkout while negotiations are actually still going on. The unions, though, they say that they had no option as the government's not taking these negotiations seriously.
Isn't the British government actually this week, and haven't they just announced more cuts?
Yeah, yesterday. They confirmed that they've fallen very badly behind with their deficit reduction plans. They're going to have to borrow a lot more, some $180 billion more. They're going to introduce more cuts. The British are now looking at 6 years of austerity. Now, there are new factors involved here, high inflation, but notably the Eurozone crisis next door. Remember, Britain's not part of the Eurozone, but it's right next to it, and it trades big time with the Eurozone. So it's being affected by what's happening there. Now, some of these cuts involve the very workers who are striking today. They've learnt that 300,000 more of their jobs are going in the coming years. Their pay is already frozen. And when that freeze ends in a couple of years, they're going to have a 1% cap slapped on it for a couple more years. So they are losing money as inflation factored in. It means it's a big pay cut. And the government's also bringing forward plans to increase the retirement age in Britain to 67. They're bringing that forward so that it'll be introduced earlier. All this is stoking up the anger of those taking part in today's one-day strike.
Philip, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Philip Rees reporting to us from London. British workers, 2 million of them, as many as 2 million public sector workers, are promising to strike today. We also heard about Philadelphia and Los Angeles, where Occupy protests are coming to an end. Police have come in and occupied Occupy camps in Philadelphia and Los Angeles overnight. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. And let's follow up now on yesterday's news that American Airlines filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. It's part of an effort to cut debt and reduce labor costs. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports on what a post-bankruptcy American Airlines might look like.
During the economic downturn, American Airlines already pared down its workforce. Analysts don't think there will be massive layoffs this time.
Many elements of labor are going to pay a terrible price for this.
Aaron Gelman teaches transportation at Northwestern University. He says the first place the company will likely try to cut is pilot salaries, and then...
I think there are also others who are quite innocent who will be hurt in the long run as they cut costs, which they must do in bankruptcy. So I don't think it's a good thing for the workers at all. It sure is not job creation.
Gelman says pilots and mechanics are relatively safe, but he says customer service jobs will likely take a hit. James Ash is a forensic accountant. He specializes in bankruptcy. He says this bankruptcy is really about wages and other benefits.
What's clearly going to play out on this, and it's playing out all over the country, including in state and local governments all over the country, is trying to pull back on the liability associated with paying out retirement benefits.
Ash says reduced pensions, retirements that start much later, and higher health care costs for employees are likely to be a new picture for the friendly skies. Sonarian Glenton, NPR News.
The problem right now in Europe is a crisis of confidence and a worry that the Eurozone may break up. In other words, that certain countries may leave the Eurozone, may stop using the euro and adopt their own currency. And that has shaken confidence in the euro as a currency, and it's making a lot of investors want to go to safe havens. And the good news is that the dollar and dollar-denominated assets in the U.S. are safe havens. I often joke and say, we have problems, but the problems in Europe and other parts of the world are even worse. Or another way of saying it is the dollar is the best-looking horse in the glue factory. So in that sense, we're lucky. And so what you're seeing is that a lot of investors and banks worried about the future of the euro are coming to a currency about whose future they're a little more confident.